Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, folks, AEW promised a big announcement. Tony Khan said he would have that announcement on Wednesday. And there was actually two of them, wasn't there? And the first one, well, I don't know about the first one, but one of two was that there will be a brand new women's championship. And to be perfectly honest with you, I don't like this announcement. The reason I don't like this announcement is I don't think the women's division is established enough in AEW that there can be two champions. Now, I know there's people saying, well, what about the WWE's women's tag team division? You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. They're not established enough to have a tag team championship either. But two wrongs don't make a right, and I cannot see Tony Khan juggling two titles in the women's division when there's barely one match a week in that women's division. So I'm not sure. I mean, this could be a precursor to him saying we are actually going to try to flesh out our women's division more, and this will give us the opportunity to do it. I suppose that's possible. But I also think it's very possible that this is just to placate people who have said he hasn't treated the women's division seriously enough. And, you know, if you have nine women in your division and two of them have a title, that's probably not the greatest thing in the world. So we'll see where that goes. The second announcement, a little bit weird, that they're switching from TNT to TBS. Now, the reason this is actually happening, for people who don't know, is that Wednesday night's hockey night over there. Always has been, and it's always going to be, because they draw actually more than wrestling. So they don't want to change their hockey night, so they're shifting. Now, granted, TBS actually has more viewers. They're in more homes, so more people get TBS than TNT. The issue is not that. The issue is that in that key demographic, which is 18 to like 46, TBS does not do well traditionally. They're not a network that brings that age group in. Now, will AEW simply being on there bring that age group in? Maybe. Maybe. I mean, that's what the hope is, I think. The hope is that they'll change the demographic of that channel a little bit, and they'll have an 18 to 46 fan base for at least that show. But, of course, you could say the reverse could be true as well. And you could say that the 18 to 46 crowd isn't going to tune in because they traditionally don't watch TBS. I don't know which is true. The ratings will bear that out as we go. But to be perfectly honest, neither one of these were what I call huge earth-shattering announcements, because we heard this anyway. We reported this on this show four months ago, that they were going to probably switch when hockey season came through. And as far as the women's division, that's been in the works. We've heard that rumbling for a while. So neither one of these were what I would call earth-shattering announcements. But still, we're left to ponder, are they good? Are they positive steps forward for AEW? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I think you're cutting the women's division a little bit thin to have two belts already when you don't have a ton of women in that division, Todd, but maybe they're going to add more.
I mean, absolutely right there. Like you said, with the women's division in AEW, we all kind of knew they're going to bring in a TBS women's championship. Like you said, I don't think there's enough women to be in a division of for that belt.
Yeah, that's my only worry. My worry is that they just don't have enough, and one of the titles, probably this one, is going to be kind of just buried, and once in a while it's mentioned or brought up. I don't know. Maybe they've got plans to actually flesh out their women's division, and this is the first step. But they haven't shown that so far. As far as the TBS move, well, we'll see what happens. We know what they're drawing on TNT. So let's see what happens the first, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. You can't go by the first week. But let's see what happens the first 3 or 4 weeks going into TBS. If the ratings stay the same, then there was no harm, no foul. If the ratings go up, it was a great move. If the ratings go down, then there's a problem. Because they're not bringing him back. I mean, I suppose they could after hockey season is over. They're not bringing him back during hockey season. So we will see. Now, there's some more important news, and that is that AJ Lee, wife of CM Punk, is once again in the wrestling business, and no, it's not for AEW. Believe it or not, David McClain, the man who originally founded GLOW, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, is reforming WOW, Women of Wrestling. And AJ Lee supposedly is being hired not as a wrestler, but as a producer. So that's interesting news. Now, that means they're going to take this much more seriously. And, of course, WOW, Women of Wrestling did take women's wrestling more seriously. The original GLOW, for people who do not remember it or have not seen it, even though the Netflix series has kind of brought it back to life somewhat. For the people who have not seen it, GLOW was a satire of professional wrestling as far as I'm concerned. It had wacky, over-the-top characters. The wrestling was poor to abysmally poor. And it was basically just girls playing a character and getting in skimpy outfits and wrestling in a ring in Las Vegas. However, it had a charm to it. And they were fearless in some of the characters they had. I mean, they had, I'm trying to think, Mabel and somebody else, and they were kind of like KKK members. And they were supposedly women who were, I guess, that they had like sacks over their head or something. They didn't have like traditional KKK garb. That would have been going too far, but they had like sacks over their head, and they were pretty obviously playing a racial gimmick. That was wild. They had the Heavy Metal Sisters. They had the Housewives. I think they're all the same people. All of those tag teams I just mentioned were the same two people, just disguised differently. And the Housewives used rolling pins and other things to beat up their opponents. And they had wacky characters like, you must remember Americana. And, of course, they had Big Bad Mama and Mount Fiji. And nobody that came out of that, with the possible exception of one, ever really went on to do too much more. Not the possible exception, the definite exception of one, because she was WWE Women's Champion for a while. But really, it wasn't about the wrestling. They had little, almost what I would call comedy skits in between matches. They did a rap in the beginning. Each one of the wrestlers had their own, like the farmer's daughter would have writing. There would actually be a thing where she'd be sitting at a desk and it would say letters to home from the farmer's daughter. And then you would hear her kind of reading out what she was writing, and it was always something dumb because she's supposed to be a hillbilly. And you had Dementia, who was supposed to be an axe murderess. And there was just Godiva, who came out in a suit that looked like she was naked. And I believe after that, they actually had another one. I'm trying to think of what the name of that was. It wasn't WOW. But they did another one. I'm not sure David McClain was involved. Hollywood and Vine, everybody knew they were supposed to be prostitutes. It was a very entertaining show, though. Now, if you're a wrestling purist, it was not that. It was not that at all. It was definitely a satire on professional wrestling. And David McLean was supposed to be the Vince McMahon of GLOW. And he was a very over-the-top, hilariously over-the-top announcer who was very, very entertaining to listen to. If you have not caught any of the real GLOW episodes, you really should. It's a moment in wrestling history that will never be repeated because it's extraordinarily politically incorrect. But it was funny as hell. And it was entertaining. Then he went on to do Women of Wrestling, and that, like I said, I think Tessa Blanchard was on it for a while, and they had some serious, you know, athletes in there. And I guess that's what he's trying to do this time, because hiring AJ Lee as the producer, this isn't going to be a comedy show, and it's not going to be a TNA show, and it's not going to be a politically incorrect, probably. It's probably going to be a straight-up women's division. Now, I don't know about – I heard Tessa Blanchard is signing with a different company, but she was in the other one. So I don't know about whether David McLean can haul her away from wherever she's currently appearing. I know AEW and WWE both said they had no interest. So Women of Wrestling coming back, Mike, probably coming back as a much more serious product.
Right. And look, here's the deal about AJ Lee. She was writing comic books and all that stuff, and she did say she did not want to. She said, "Well, my neck's all messed up, and I didn't want to. You know, I didn't want to get. I don't want to get back in the ring, but I wouldn't mind doing something backstage, right?" And
right.
I think, to tell you the truth, I think AEW and WWE probably missed out on it. Okay, on hiring AJ Lee in that capacity. Now, granted, you weren't gonna. If you want to be a producer, that was that. Remember, that's what that's what Mickie James wanted to do with that women's pay per view that they scuttled in WWE. That's why one of the reasons why she left. Went to the NWA and put on their women's pay-per-view and produced it, right? So
right.
It was probably not going to happen for AJ Lee in the WWE, but it's a good idea. It's a good idea. She had one of the best characters ever, you know, before she turned face. She had one of the best characters ever, and in the WWE with that crazy ex-girlfriend thing. I mean, it was spot on.
Yeah, absolutely no question it was. And that was the AJ Lee that I actually liked. And I know the character was probably, you know, according to her, politically incorrect and demeaning, but I don't care what anybody says. Everybody's known a girl like that. Everybody has known a girl who is a little bit psycho and way too good looking for her own good and is able to manipulate a situation like that and really cause trouble. Because you originally think, oh, she's just a pretty girl who's interested in me. And then the next thing you know, she's psychopathic and won't go away. Everyone knows a girl like that, and she played that character 100% perfectly. She was able to fluctuate between this innocence of, you know, this flirtatious innocence and deadpan psychopathic, which was really cool. I enjoyed that character a lot. But I know she denounced it later on and said she didn't like it, which is, you know, I don't like that about wrestlers. I know Cody Rhodes has done the same thing with Stardust, which I thought was a great character. That's people's going to say, oh, that was stupid. Well, is he any more interesting as just Cody? No, he's not. I mean, when he was a guy who you say, you know what? They drove him over the edge. His brother's gimmick made him a big, much bigger star than he will ever be. And he's starting to realize that. And he kind of got driven over the edge, and now he's almost like a super villain with a, you know, the, he used to have the Ascension as his henchman. And I said, geez, this is actually pretty cool. It's like a Batman villain. It was actually pretty cool. He hates it. I get it. But at the end of the day, entertaining your audience is the main thing. And I thought he was very entertaining. As the Stardust character. But again, AJ didn't like her psycho chick gimmick. Cody didn't like his Stardust gimmick. Oftentimes, Todd, it seems like the more entertaining gimmicks are the ones that the wrestlers themselves don't buy into.
Well, you're absolutely right, like you said. Like you said, with Cody Rhodes never liked the Stardust gimmick, or AJ Lee never liked the gimmicks, the flirty, like, stalker gimmick thingy. Hey, we like you, me, Mike. We like those gimmicks. Those gimmicks were pretty cool. Some people just don't want them. Some people are picky.
Yeah, you know, I had a short debate with a guy on a wrestling group who said, well, you know, WWE is about corny, stupid gimmicks and. It's not like AEW. And I said, well, I don't know. You got a guy over there called Jungle Boy, and you got a guy who thinks he's a dinosaur. I'm not 100% sure that you can say that. And you got a guy who's put on, you know, Misfits face paint, and he's a skateboarder or something. So I'm not 100% sure that you can pass off everything. I think the actual argument was AEW's real wrestling, professional wrestling, because Daniel Bryan, I guess, had made a comment saying, and it's a very dumb comment, and it's something that I'd like to clarify that Daniel Bryan really said, because I think Daniel Bryan's a very intelligent guy, and if he said it, it was one of the dumbest things I've ever heard anyone say. He said, real wrestling fans do not watch WWE. And if he actually said that and meant it, he's a dummy. Because if you think for 1 minute that watching AJ Styles versus Matt Riddle is not real wrestling or good wrestling, or the Usos facing off against, I don't know, the Street Profits, that's not good wrestling. That's very good wrestling. That is very, very good wrestling. Now, you might argue that the WWE has more entertainment than wrestling, and that's a fair argument, but you can't argue that the people that are in that ring are more than capable of doing anything that anybody in AEW is. See, I think that sometimes fans don't realize that. They'll watch WWE and they'll say, well, these guys don't do these things. Therefore, it's because they can't. That's not true. They don't do them because they're not allowed to do them. Otherwise, AEW wouldn't be hiring so many WWE guys, would they? Because they'd say, well, you don't fit our standards. Quite obviously, if AEW is hiring all the leftover WWE guys, they think they're great professional wrestlers, or they wouldn't hire them. But the WWE has a different style. That's all there is to it. And they don't want 25-minute, highly, highly, highly athletic matches every match. They don't want it. They want 3-minute matches here and there. They want short, gimmicky matches here and there. That's their style. But to say real wrestling fans don't watch it, that's absurd. So real wrestling fans didn't watch Steve Austin, right? Real wrestling fans didn't watch Hulk Hogan in the day or The Ultimate Warrior. That wasn't real wrestling. No, what you're doing now isn't real wrestling. See, that's where the problem is. As much as you may laugh at the hokey 80s, whatever, that actually was professional wrestling. And what's happening now with this more athletic style, this is an offshoot of it. This is an offshoot of wrestling. It's not really professional wrestling. It's just an offshoot of it. Now, you may like it better, but the original was not that. The original was the Hulk Hogan, Iron Sheik, that kind of stuff. That wasn't even the original, but that's what brought it to the highest level of popularity. Put it that way. Old school wrestling was not Hulk Hogan and the Iron Sheik and the Ultimate Warrior. You're right. But that's what brought it to its highest peak of popularity. And now, you have this style, and it's drawing a million people as opposed to 3.5 million people. So before you shit on it and say, well, this isn't real wrestling, understand that you'd rather have 3 million eyes on you than one. So I don't know, Mike. I thought that was a very dumb statement if Daniel Bryan really made it.
Right. And I'm like you. I don't think Daniel Bryan's, I don't want to say that stupid, but I don't think Daniel Bryan would make that statement. I don't think those words would come out of his mouth, you know? And that in that particular way, you know, I don't think he may have said something to that effect, but not those exact words. He's too smart to do it. That last gimmick they had him doing with the global warming or whatever,
right?
Guy, you know, that's a smart gimmick. That is, it takes somebody, a good actor and a smart guy, to carry that gimmick off the way he did. So I'm just saying, he's not dumb enough to say it in that way. You know?
No, I think you're right. I think if he said it, I think it was misconstrued. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I'm assuming that what he meant was, if you're a wrestling purist, WWE, you don't watch WWE, because wrestling purists want to see just two guys in a highly athletic match for 20 minutes, as opposed to a gimmick, as opposed to a character, as opposed to The Fiend or something, or Alexa Bliss. That I can agree with. I know people who are wrestling purists, and they say, well, I'd rather watch like Chris Benoit versus Eddie Guerrero for an hour than to watch The Fiend or The Iron Sheik or Stone Cold Steve Austin or The Rock. Okay, because you like that style better. But it's still professional wrestling. And let's be brutally honest. If you think that Cody Rhodes is a better professional wrestler than AJ Styles, you're insane. It's not close. And I like Cody Rhodes. I told you, I've met Cody Rhodes several times. He's a very, very nice guy. But the fact is the fact. And AJ Styles wrestles circles around Cody Rhodes on his worst day. So you can't say, well, that's not real wrestling. Yeah, of course it's real wrestling. If you put AJ Styles in that ring with Randy Orton and said, we're giving you 25, 30 minutes, you're going to see something really good. Look what we saw with the New Day and the Usos all those times. That wasn't real wrestling. I'm sorry to tell you that the cage match they had, the Hell in the Cell match they had me jump out of my chair a couple times. That's real wrestling. So it's to each their own. All styles are interpreted the way you want. I don't like lucha. And the reason I don't like lucha, and I've expressed this many times, is because there's too much in lucha that is really obviously staged. In other words, it never looks like it's a real fight. There's too much in lucha where you say, well, that guy's obviously waiting for him to jump off the rope. He's just standing there with his arms stretched. Or, well, you know, what's that guy going to do? Lay there for 20 minutes while this guy, you know, plays to the crowd and gets himself set up? You can tell it's a setup. It looks too much like circus acrobats setting up their next move than a fight. And that's why there's a lot of lucha I'm not a big fan of. Now, Lucha Underground was different. They incorporated lucha, but they incorporated other things in it. But true, pure lucha, not a huge fan of it. It's very acrobatic, and I understand it takes a great amount of talent to do it, but it never looks like they're actually fighting. And I'd take hardcore ECW over that, because at least there you said, well, that really looks like they're fighting. That looks like an all-out fight. That looks like a bar fight going nuts. And you could at least think to yourself for those 10, 15 minutes they were in the ring together, man, you know, I can easily believe this is real. There's nothing about pure lucha that looks like it's real. There just isn't. But that's just me. There are people who love it. and they hate hardcore wrestling, or they hate gimmicky wrestling. To each their own. But I don't think you can really, that's like saying, well, if you don't like thin crust overcooked pizza, that's not real pizza. Well, that's not true. There are people like Sicilian pizza. There are people like their soft crust pizza, deep dish pizza. There's all kinds of pizzas. Well, wrestling's the same way. There's all kinds of wrestling, and there's room for all kinds of wrestling. But to say one isn't wrestling because that's not the style you like is absurd. And I don't think Daniel Bryan meant that. I think Daniel Bryan meant, I think what he was trying to say is, we don't have a lot of crossover audience. Because I had said that. I had said, you know, I'm not sure that AEW fans and WWE fans are the same fans. And I think maybe Daniel Bryan was trying to say, if you're an AEW fan, you probably don't watch WWE because it's not the same. It's not like that actual wrestling. It's the more gimmicky style. I don't think he's saying one sucks. I think he was just saying we probably have different audiences, Mike.
Right. It's like you're going to go to Pizza Hut versus Domino's. All right? They're both pizza. But they're different companies. They're different makers. They're different, you know, types of pizza, right? I think that's what he's saying, right?
I think so. I think basically what he's saying is, because listen, if he didn't like gimmicky wrestling or whatever, he'd have left the WWE a long time ago. Remember when he was tag team partner with Kane, all the gimmicks they did? About one being vegan and the other wanting to eat meat and going to see a therapist and all that kind of stuff. I find it very hard to believe that Daniel Bryan wouldn't have said at that time, I'm not re-signing a contract. I'm just going to go to Japan. He was obviously eating it up. So I don't believe that that's what he meant. I don't know, but I'm assuming that's not what he meant. So anyway, we have the big announcement, like I said, from AEW that they're shifting gears and going to TBS. AJ Lee is now producing Women of Wrestling. There's going to be another women's belt in AEW, which is going to require them to hire more women. And now there's some news, apparently, that Bo Dallas has said he's not done with wrestling. And he would still like to wrestle, but he'd like to do a more limited schedule. This has led to speculation that he might get something going with Impact Wrestling. And we had speculated, of course, that Braun Strowman would be over there. And he might get something going with Impact Wrestling. And if you had Bray Wyatt, you know, we always had that speculation, Todd, that at some point in time, his brother might join the fold. They may pull something like that in Impact.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, if they do like this cult thing, like what Bray Wyatt was doing in the WWE, you could have them versus Decay. You could have a feud with them.
Yeah, that would be a really good feud, actually. So there's a lot that can be done. You see, we have an open playing field here a little bit. I think AEW has signed a lot of people, and I think aside from maybe adding some more women, I think they need to chill for a little while and just play the hand they currently have. And that's going to leave a lot of guys on the market. A lot of guys. I know Johnny Gargano has kind of indicated he's out of NXT. He took any reference to NXT off of his social media. I know his contract is up, and I'm sure he's thinking he's going to walk into an AEW contract. I'm not 100% sure about that, Mike, because, I mean, they're really overbooked over there.
They really are overbooked, but here's another one that is kind of saying that their time in WWE is just about done. Liv Morgan. All right, I've heard that she's made comments that my time here is just about done. I'm going someplace else, basically. And if that's the truth, and you've already got Ruby Riott there in AEW, and you've got Sarah Logan that was backstage at a couple of AEW events. I know she's coming off from having a baby, but that's been a couple months back. and then they can get Liv Morgan there. I mean, they could have a reunion with those three, and apparently those three women are close. Sarah Logan, Liv Morgan, and Ruby Soho. Apparently they're close. So if they can get those three women in AEW, maybe they can have a reunion, you know?
Yeah, anything's possible. I know Liv Morgan had indicated some stuff like that too. We'll see what happens with this. There's going to be a time, and it's going to be really soon, when AEW has to say, I think we have enough people. I mean, you're giving big contracts to guys like the Big Show and Mark Henry and stuff. They're not doing anything. You're kind of just giving them money to give them money. And at some point, that's going to come back and bite you in the ass as a business owner. And you're going to say, why am I giving big money to people who are not helping me? They're not doing anything. This is almost like what Vince McMahon used to do. He would give big money to people to sit at catering. And they're not helping the show in any way. And they're not helping the ratings in any way. And they're not actively doing anything to help the product in any way. It's almost just, we're giving you the money so you don't go elsewhere. And we can use your name. That's going to dry up soon, I'm telling you. A guy like Tony Khan, they can't do that forever and make money. They just can't. Right now, most of the money they're making is coming from their TV deals because they're not doing a lot of touring. Now, they're just starting to do some touring where they can use some of these big names maybe to draw ticket interest. But at some point in time, you're going to have to take a look at your payroll and your incoming money and say, where do we cut chafe here? Because we got this much going out, this much coming in, and you know, we got a lot of fat contracts with people who aren't doing much. So I don't think they're looking. I don't think they're actively on the market to sign huge names. Now, Gargano's not a huge, huge name. I don't know what Johnny Gargano makes. It's probably, you know, not tremendous. And he'd probably be happier over there considering, I don't know what to say about NXT. You know, this NXT 2.0 experiment has ran hot and cold. One show you'll say, I see improvement. This could be really cool. And the next show you're like, oh my God, that's a disaster. So I'm not really sure, Todd, where they're going with this, but it seems like they're trying to feel it out, and they're not even sure where they're going with it.
I don't know. You're absolutely right there, like you said. What Johnny Gargano's contract is up, he'll probably end up going, maybe not, hopefully not to AEW, maybe Impact Wrestling, because there's less superstars there.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are saying that. A lot of people are considering Impact, that third big company that could sign some of these people, but I don't know if they want a Johnny Gargano necessarily. I'm not sure about that. Not that he couldn't help the company, but if they're going to sign bigger names, like I hate to say it, but Braun Strowman is going to get more money than Johnny Gargano. If Braun Strowman goes over there, he's going to demand more money than Johnny Gargano because Braun Strowman's a big name. Gargano really isn't. To us NXT fans, he is, but to the world in general, he's not. Whereas a big guy like Braun Strowman, who had his face all over the place and it was, you know, WrestleMania and all that kind of stuff, that's bigger. So he's going to command a decent price. And if they get Bray Wyatt, he's going to command a very, very decent price. I don't know, Mike, if they'll have room for, you know, people like Johnny Gargano.
Right. Well, the only thing I can see is you get Johnny Gargano, then you get, at some other point in the future, you get his wife as well.
Yeah, I mean, that could be a nice twin bill, and there's no question about that. Now, supposedly, speaking of people's wives, supposedly Britt Baker on one of the radio shows had said the WWE, without contract tampering, had definitely ask Adam Cole about her availability and what she would want to come over to the WWE and all of that. So that she said they were very interested, but she had told them, I'm not interested at all. I'm not interested at all. Now, that might have changed if Adam Cole stayed. But she says, well, I like it where I am in AEW, or I'm sure you do, because you're the top person in that, in their division. But I still say character and her mannerism fits better in WWE. See, this is what I'm saying to AEW fans when they make fun of, oh, well, you know, you got a guy who's, you know, he's got a character, he's a gimmick, he's supposed to be this, he's supposed to be that. Well, what's she doing? She's doing Kane's old gimmick. Isaac Yankum, right? So, yeah, I mean, you got a wrestling dentist, you got a wrestling dinosaur, you got a wrestling Tarzan, Jungle Kid. You have just as many gimmicks over there. It's just that your matches are different. AEW doesn't go for those, we're going to do a 3-minute match so we can get 9 matches into a 2-hour show. They don't do that. They'd rather just go for like 2 or 3 matches and make them longer than they would get everybody in on the show, which is great for wrestling fans, but it might not be so great for the wrestlers, because there's a lot of people in AEW now, Mike, just sitting around saying, when am I going to be on TV?
Right, and think about this, though, with Britt Baker, you know. She may also be looking at the fact that if she goes to the WWE, we've seen it before. They bring up, they're hot on some, they sign somebody or they bring somebody up and are hot on them for a couple of weeks, but then after that, they start misusing them and they basically bury them, right? That's probably... her mannerisms and gimmick and stuff would fit more in the WWE, but maybe, just maybe, she's looking at, well, what happens 3 weeks, a month, 2 months down the line after I sign my deal? What happens to me then, you know?
That's a good point. Well, and I think that's what Adam Cole's point was, too. I think Adam Cole, because now they're denying that he was ever going to be used as a manager. That was the first thing, is that their pitch to him was to be a manager for Keith Lee. And he said, no, but, you know, who knows what he's – who knows if what he's saying is accurate. But I had heard that. I had heard they pitched that he was going to be Keith Lee's manager. But he did say they told him they wanted him to cut his hair. They wanted him to – actually, they were considering, like, asking him to shave his head bald. And they did want him to change his name because they thought, like, Michael Cole and Adam Cole, it wouldn't be a good thing. So they wanted him to change his name. So it's no surprise that he didn't sign with them. And I, once again, and I said it the day we found out he didn't sign with them, I said, I don't think the WWE was ever serious about signing him. And I reiterate it. I think they made him an offer they knew he wasn't going to take. WWE will do that. WWE will be like, well, if we don't offer him anything, we look like idiots. So we're going to offer him something we know damn well he's not going to go for. And then he'll just be on his merry way and we'll say to fans, well, I mean, we made an offer. It's not like we ignored him. And I think that's the case with Adam Cole. I think they sized him up and said, look, he's a great wrestler, but he's done what he can do in NXT. We're not sure he's, you know, a lifer there. We wanted to bring him up, but we don't really have anything for him. If he wants to go over there to AEW, fine. You know, we'll cut a little bit of money and we'll make him an offer, but he won't take it. And then at least we can say we tried. Because anyone's going to know. He's not going to change his name and shave his head bald. Anyone would know that. Interesting, though, that the WWE seems to, what's the right word for it? They seem to value people who I don't think the fans value as much as they do. One being Finn Balor. Now, I'm hearing, oh, well, Finn Balor is going over to Raw, and they got big plans for him. Okay, well, Adam Cole is a bigger draw than Finn Balor. I don't care. You can say, oh, we're getting two for one because of the demon, and the demon's a big draw. I don't think the demon's a big draw. I don't think Finn Balor's a big draw. Finn Balor was the NXT champion and did not move that needle one single iota as champion. Not one. I think Adam Cole was more popular as far as the ability to draw fans than Finn Balor. And yet, Mike, for whatever reason, they seem to value Finn Balor much more than they did Adam Cole.
Right. And that's the deal. And think about this. Apparently, two-fourths, half of the undisputed era is now in AEW. Because I think O'Reilly's there too. I think.
At least he showed up for the Sammy Guevara. Well, I don't know about O'Reilly, but Fish did.
Bobby Fish. That's what I'm thinking about, Bobby Fish. But yeah, 2-4. So, I mean, if they end up, if what they're saying is true about we want to get bigger, and that cuts across everything, including the NXT, then O'Reilly's not a big guy, and neither is not Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, what's the fourth guy in the, Roderick Strong. Neither is Roderick Strong. So, I mean, how much longer before those guys are gone? Because they don't fit what you're looking for, right?
You know, that's the thing, Mike. I don't know what the hell they're looking for. Because they're saying, well, we want bigger guys. We want guys who could want main event WrestleMania one day. We want, you know, that type of thing. And then they're, in one breath, they're saying that, and then they're highlighting guys like, well, we've re-signed Pete Dunne for years. Okay, well, Pete Dunne is one of, arguably, the smallest guys there. It's not that he's not a great wrestler. I've told everybody he's one of my favorite wrestlers, but he is very small. Very small. He's one of the few guys that make Finn Balor look big. And I just don't understand. If that's what you're going to do, why'd you even sign Pete Dunne? That doesn't even make any sense at all. That's the exact opposite of what you said you wanted. So if you put an ad out and you say wanted, Carpenter with at least 3 years experience and their own tools, and then you hire two or three guys that have no experience and no tools, what the hell? What was the point of even placing the ad? So if you're going to come out and proclaim NXT 2.0 is going to be much more of a training ground for future WWE superstars who could highlight or be a main event in WrestleMania, we're going for bigger, stronger, more rough-looking guys. And then you hire Pete Dunne and you re-sign Pete Dunne and you want to re-sign Johnny Gargano and those guys. Mike, it's pretty much the exact opposite of what they just said.
And you just put the belt back around Ciampa's waist. Ciampa's not a big guy either.
No, he's not.
We're hearing them say that, well, we're going to bring up Walter. You know?
Right.
Walter's not a small man. He's not a 350-pound guy, but he's, 260, 265.
He's a pretty big guy, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Well, again, it seems like they say one thing and they do another. So my impression so far of NXT is that they're not sure what they want to do with it. They're still in the feeling out process. They're almost hedging their bets. Instead of saying, we're going to move all in this direction, they're like, well, don't move all in this direction yet. Let's keep half of it the way it was. And we'll start to introduce the bigger guys and see how that works. And to be perfectly honest, then it makes nobody happy. Because the people who were the wrestling purists who tuned in for the highly athletic 20-minute matches aren't getting enough. And the people who tuned in for the big gimmicks and the whatever aren't getting enough. And so now you're not making anybody happy. Do one or the other. Do one or the other. Or make a lightweight division or something. But when you say we're incorporating all of the 205 Live guys into NXT, well, none of them guys are big. And when you're bringing out guys, we don't even know who the hell they are. Oh, we just found this guy. Okay, well, I have no interest in him yet because I don't know who he is. If you were going to do that, you would have thought during the draft they would have said two or three good names that we're just not using, like Sami Zayn, maybe a Kevin Owen, maybe a Cesaro. They're going to NXT, and they're going to help spur this new division of larger guys. And then we can bring in some guys you haven't heard of and play the guys you have heard of off the guys you haven't. It's not what they did, Mike. They just kind of skipped that and said, okay, we're taking people from NXT, but we're not going to bring anybody to it. We're just going to bring up people who you've never heard of.
Right, and think about this. I mean, you've got guys down there that, well, you and I and Todd know from because they've been around. Yeah, they may not be all that big, but think about this. LA Knight, we know who LA Knight is, right?
Yeah.
Cameron Grimes, we know who he used to be. And we know who he is, and we know him now. I mean, those two guys probably should be up on their main roster, right?
I agree. I'm going to tell you. Mike, I think you hit the nail on the head. I don't know if Ted DiBiase has any interest at all. I know he's doing his own thing now. But if you could get Ted DiBiase up there to manage Cameron Grimes like was happening in NXT, I think you have something. Because, A, you got a real legitimate WWE legend in Ted DiBiase. It would be great to see him again on a regular basis. It would be great that he was a part of wrestling. It would be great that this is his protege. I think Cameron Grimes has a really good personality. He has a lot of charisma. I think you could manage, even if you wanted to make him the heel, but I think he had more charisma, truthfully, as a face. I think you're right. I think they belong on the main roster.
Yeah, I think LA Knight belongs there too. Because what is he in his mid-30s, and he's got that person. He's got that big personality. And the
yes.
WWE, the main roster, is for years and years. With I don't want to say it had didn't have wrestling, but it was more personality driven, you know, and LA Knight has a personality.
Absolutely. Now, I had a guy just text me and say he thought that Bo Dallas may potentially go to NWA. That's a very, very, very interesting proposition because they tape, which means that he would have a lot of time off. Because I know that Bo Dallas said he was more interested in farming and he wants to wrestle, but he doesn't want to be on like a road type schedule all the time. That would actually work. And his style would probably go over really, really good there. Now, please, if you got Bray Wyatt coming in and you're going to form some kind of a, you know, cult of Wyndham with him and Bo Dallas, absolutely do it in Impact. But if that's not what's happening, yeah, I could see Bo Dallas and NWA doing really, really well, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right, though. Like you say, when Bo Dallas go to the NWA, I think if you put him in a feud with Aaron Stevens or make him do something with Aaron Stevens, it would be great. Do like funny skits or something or put him in like a comedy feud or in a couple comedy matches, one of another.
Yeah, there's a lot you could do with him over there, Mike. I hadn't really thought about that, but that would offer him the easiest schedule, I guess.
That would, but again, Bray Wyatt chose to tease the Cult of Wyndham, right? He chose
yes.
to tease that. And it looks like he's going to sign with the likely place for him is Impact. Now, think about it. If you're going to be in Impact, you know, and Impact and you want something to do, you've got Bo Dallas, you've got, Bray Wyatt, you can get Braun Strowman, Adam Scherl, you can possibly even get Rowan.
Yeah.
You know?
No, you're right. And listen, you know how easily, well, I guess they couldn't do it because the WWE probably holds copyright to all of that stuff. But they could have done that so easily in the WWE, made Bo Dallas a part of that, because even the Bo Leave gimmick would work if he just made it more serious. Instead of being like a motivational speaker, he could have been almost like a cultish someone who says, you must believe in, you know, what my brother says or whatever. You could have made him a darker character who still did the believe thing and stuff. There was so much they could have done with that. I'm really disappointed that the WWE didn't take the bull by the horns there. They used to really, really see the problem with the WWE that most people don't understand is they think, oh, well, it sucks because the matches are no good and it's predictable. All wrestling is predictable. I can predict most everything that's happening in AEW too. The problem was the WWE used to put a lot of effort into the entertainment value of it. Now they don't. Now they just say, we'll just go out and do the matches, but their matches aren't long enough or usually as a rule, long enough or athletically based enough to be as interesting. So now you've lost both. You've lost the key element of the entertainment and your matches aren't being fleshed out enough to be what fans who like that kind of stuff would like. So you've lost both. They need to get one of the two back. Again, the WWE tries to walk that tightrope of, well, we'll do a little bit and some fans will like this, some fans will like that. Just go whole hog one way or the other. If you're an entertainment company, make this the most entertaining thing you can do. Don't worry about 25-minute matches. As much as I like AJ Styles, and I'd love to see him in these 20-minute matches with Nakamura or Orton or Riddle or any number of people. If that's not what you're going for, just make AJ Styles as entertaining as you possibly can and everybody else as entertaining as you possibly can and move forward. There is a place for that. Almost doesn't know any wrestling moves. I haven't seen him do a wrestling move. Anybody can pick you up and slam you. I haven't seen Almost do anything. But when Randy Orton and Almost came face-to-face, that crowd was humming for it. And that means something. That means that the anticipation of that was something the crowd really looked forward to, even though you know that's not going to be a good match. But that means you've worked the Almost character exactly right, Mike, and the fans are chomping at the bit to see him take on really tough competition.
Well, I think he kind of got it wrong. It was Almost and Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, it was Lashley. Yeah, but now they're doing Orton. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, and that would have been a pretty good build up as well. And look, it was a good idea to have him with AJ. But I think it's time you split them apart. That's number one. And number two, you know what? You're talking about a darker edge for the Bo Dallas character. They could absolutely have turned him into a Jim Jones type of character.
Yeah, that's my point. Someone who just blindly follows his brother and, you know, believe in our cause, believe in what we stand for, what we represent. You could absolutely have done that. See, I think the real problem with Bray Wyatt, as much as I like the Fiend character, and I really did, see, a lot of people said, oh, that's so stupid, like a monster. He wasn't supposed to be a monster. He wasn't supposed to be a monster. He was supposed to don that mask and let out all of his inner anger and frustrations and violence that he kept built up inside him as that funhouse host. Hide my face and get all of the inner turmoil and rage out of my system. That's what the Fiend meant to me anyway. Now the WWE turned him into a monster, some kind of supernatural monster, which again, but they did that to Bray Wyatt too. Remember the House of Horrors match where the tractor moved by itself and all kinds of stuff? That was never Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt was a cult leader. Bray Wyatt was Charles Manson. Bray Wyatt was Jim Jones. Bray Wyatt was the guy who talked you into believing everything he said was true. And the WWE never really understood Bray Wyatt. They never really got the crux of what Bray Wyatt was supposed to be or what he was supposed to represent. And it's a shame because Bray Wyatt sure got it. He understood what he was going for very well. Now, granted, he did, as Bray Wyatt, bring in the devil a couple times and things, but that's okay because you have satanic cults too. They're still not supernatural. You could be a part of a cult that's a satanic cult, but that doesn't mean you have supernatural power. Their mistake with Bray Wyatt was trying to make him the Undertaker, trying to make him some supernatural creature. He never was supposed to be that. He was much more interesting the other way. He was much more interesting when he was that type of guy whose rhetoric eventually got in your head and you started to believe it. And then when he changed into the Fiend, well, he got the best of both worlds. He got to do those funhouse segments where it seemed innocent, but there was a lot of darkness in it. And then the inner turmoil comes out in the Fiend. So I never thought, Mike, that they were silly, childlike characters. I thought they were really advanced characters that the WWE blew.
Right. And look, I thought he was going to give them two characters out of that thing, because that Funhouse character was a character in and of itself, right?
Yes.
I mean, he would do it all with kind of jokey, fun-loving, what's his name, Pee Wee Herman type stuff in the Funhouse, but all of a sudden he would flip on a dime and get serious, almost too serious, you know, and that darkened it up, you know, and it's like, okay. And frankly, he did a great job of writing that stuff up. I think he did most of the writing for that whole thing himself, because he wrote it so well that he gave those puppets personalities.
Really did. Yeah. That, again, it was very underrated. His entertainment value to the company was very underrated. So what are we going to see on SmackDown tonight? Well, I think we're supposed to see the beginning of King of the Ring tournament and also the women's version of it, I guess. I don't know. Again, we're not going to see a lot of these roster changes, I think, until after Saudi Arabia, Todd. So I'm not expecting to see any of the draft picks front and center, at least until after they get done with the Saudi show.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, that this draft picks affects the day after the Crown Jewel pay-per-view. Like you said, we're probably not going to see too much tonight, but we're probably going to see the women's version of Queen of the Ring. That'd be the easy.
Yeah, some kind of Queen of the Ring thing. You know, Pat McAfee, I guess he was kidding, but he said, I'm not going to Saudi Arabia. I wasn't asked. They don't need me as an announcer to go to Saudi Arabia. That's okay because, you know, when they all get quote-unquote stranded at the airport again, I won't be involved. That could be more serious than you think. I'm telling you right now, we are one problem away in Saudi Arabia from having this bite the WWE in the ass bigger than anything that has ever happened to them. And I hope to God it doesn't happen. And I'm sure they're taking every step they possibly can to make sure it doesn't, Mike. But one more incident where wrestlers are stranded on the runway or forced to stay in hotels or something happens, one more incident like this, I think the eyes of the public and maybe even our government is watching.
I guess so. One more incident, at least they should be watching, and that's the thing. Now, one more thing about Bray Wyatt. He's calling it – he tweeted out a cult of Wyndham, but his name – he's Mike Rotunda's son, right? He's talking about calling it the cult of Wyndham. Cult of Wyndham.
So, well, his name is Wyndham, yeah.
He may be thinking of taking the Wyndham name.
Well, his first name is Wyndham. His real name is Wyndham Rotunda. So that's probably why Cult of Wyndham. Anyway, folks, enjoy SmackDown tonight, and we will be back here on Sunday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.